to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome.
This podcast is the sermon for October 22nd, 2023, the 21st Sunday after Pentecost, by Sister Veronica Dunbar.
I actually have a great deal of compassion for the Pharisees. They wanted certainty. They were working hard just to keep things predictable. They wanted to feel like they had things as much under control as possible. They wanted a world with good, solid, clear answers. And along comes Jesus, who from the point of a Pharisee must have been really, really annoying. Our lectionary readings this week continue in the section of Matthew that encompasses what we know as Holy Week. Jesus has made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. The crowds have thrown their cloaks and green branches under the feet of the donkey on which he has ridden. He has come into the temple and overturned the table of the money changers, telling them that they have made a house of prayer into a den of robbers. Then, day after day, he has gathered a crowd under the grand colonnade of the temple and has been teaching them. Those who hold authority and influence in the temple quickly realize that Jesus' message is one that makes them look kind of bad. They need to get Jesus to be quiet. They really want to get Jesus out of their hair. But the crowd loves Jesus. They love the message from this man who seems to come from the same place that they have, a place that does not hold power and does not have influence, a people that often find themselves working for someone else's gain while finding themselves without their own daily bread. And the temple authorities are afraid of angering this crowd. They want to keep the crowd on their side while at the same time ridding themselves of this troublesome, itinerant preacher. So they begin with flattery, and they lay it on pretty thick so that on the surface of things, they seem to be honoring Jesus, hoping that the crowd will not detect their ulterior motive. Jesus, of course, sees what they're trying to do, and he gives a typically annoying, frustrating, nuanced, and gospel-filled answer. The real question is, how do we as people of faith interact with earthly powers in a way that keeps God at the center and sovereign in our lives? The question is illustrated with a silver denarius. This is a Roman coin bearing the face of the emperor, violating the commandment not to make graven images, and also bearing an inscription, "Caesar, son of the divine Augustus," violating the commandment about having other gods before the one God. The Romans had allowed Jewish people to mint their own copper coins for everyday use, coins that did not contain the offending image or inscription. But when paying the Roman poll tax levied on every adult Jew in Jerusalem, including women and slaves, that tax had to be paid with a silver Roman denarius that offended the piety of Jewish believers. How does a faithful person interact with this system that seems to stand in opposition to their belief? What is their responsibility here? To whom are they answerable? Does Jesus give them a straightforward answer that they can easily apply to all situations? Of course not. Jesus gives them an answer that challenges them to continually reflect, to think, to wrestle with what their faith requires of them, not just when it comes to coins and taxes, but every time they find themselves confronted with their identity as believers and their circumstances as subjects of the Roman Empire. And what does your God require of you? To do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Jesus will, a little later on after this passage, tell the crowd that God will recognize as God's own those who clothe the naked, feed the hungry, and care for the sick and those in prison. What does living out these prophetic messages look like when they inevitably clash with a Roman system under which they live? How, in every moment and in every human encounter, do they declare that they first and foremost belong to God and not to any system that would have them deny their identity as believers? The early followers of Jesus would think of themselves as citizens of both heaven and earth. They were citizens of God's holy reign, which was not yet come to full fruition. And they were also human subjects to earthly powers, powers which did not recognize God's sovereignty or God's call to holiness. The followers of Jesus had to wrestle with what it meant to hold on to that heavenly citizenship while also navigating a difficult and often adversarial earthly one. Jesus was inviting that crowd in the temple to seriously pursue God's vision and God's righteousness in every aspect of their life, great and small. Jesus was challenging them to ask better questions, like, how do I do justice and love mercy in the face of the control of the Roman Empire? How do I walk humbly before God when the system in which I live would reward me for arrogance and self-centrism? What do I do about the poverty I see around me? What work needs to be done to make sure the sick are cared for? Are there those who have been judged unjustly, treated inhumanely, who need liberation? What does God require of me? Jesus takes the question posed by the Pharisees and Herodians and tells them, it's not about coins. It's about all the ways, great and small, we daily declare ourselves to belong to the God of justice and mercy, the God who cares for the widow and orphan, the God of the least of these who cry out for justice and mercy. God invites them, Jesus invites them and us to dive deeper, to ask good questions, and to wrestle with what the Scripture and the Spirit may be asking of us. The emperor has crafted his own system. I'll leave him to it. God has created a vision for us. Let us pursue it. Let us also understand that the earthly systems that leave people struggling for their daily bread or without hope of justice will inevitably come into conflict with God's vision for us. And we will have to discern our way in pursuing God's vision, in bearing witness that we are answerable to our Creator before anyone or anything else. And in doing that, we can bring hope and life to those who don't know where their bread will come from or where they will find authorities faithful to the truth. So Jesus calls us to ask good questions, to wrestle with them every moment, every day. And Jesus calls us to pursue God's vision. And doing that, God in us and through us will bring about that holy reign, that vision that God has for us. Amen.